This episode of the Sport Lifestyle Podcast is presented by Empirica. That's Empirica, E-M-P-I-R-I-K-A. Empirica exists to amplify your brand's growth, a digital partner to the ambitious, the creative engine launching brands and igniting growth, the unagency where relationships matter, not transactions. Let's connect at empiricamedia.com. That's empiricamedia.com. Let's get the show started.
This is the Sport Lifestyle Podcast, where the trade of sport collides with fashion and innovation. Your hosts, Mike Gugat, Neil Schwartz, and John Peters, break down news, discuss trends, and interview industry influencers. The Sport Lifestyle Podcast is on now.
This is Season 3, Episode 7 of the Sport Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Mike Gugat. In this episode, we speak with Justin Kittredge, the CEO and president of iSlides, a premium custom slides brand based in Boston. Justin was a great guest, quite possibly our best dressed guest of all time. We talked about his time at Reebok, where he grew to lead the basketball division. He also appeared on ABC's The Shark Tank, and he gave us some insights about what it was like to be on that show. We also discussed the many athletes and celebrities that are repping iSlides, everyone from LeBron James, Steph Curry, DJ Khalid, Ellen DeGeneres, and so many more. We found Justin to be humble, smart, and most of all, down to earth. Well, almost down to earth. He did wear a coat, tie, and a pocket square. Anyway, let's get to the interview. Welcome back to the Sport Lifestyle Podcast. Our guest today is Justin Kittredge. For our viewing audience, he's quite possibly the best dressed guest we've ever had. Welcome to the podcast, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We were teasing Justin that he either has a CNBC interview coming up or he's going to be on Cheddar later in the day, but we'll have to put up a picture of how well-dressed he is. And but Justin, we really appreciate you coming on. You know, you're the president, CEO, and I love that your LinkedIn actually listed you as the janitor as well for iSlides. Could you share with our listeners, you know, what led you to this role that you hold today, and how those experiences inform your leadership?
Sure. Yeah. And I'll start off by saying I'm not usually commented on how well dressed I am. So this is a first for me, which is great. So Justin Kittredge, I started, Cape guy, grew up in Barnstable. A James Madison guy down in Virginia, and then got my start right after college at Reebok. So I was an intern there in 2000. Worked in I was an intern for marketing. So worked for a guy Scott Utek and Matt Bierce as well during that time, and had a great internship, and then got my start right after. So I was hired as a field marketing rep for Reebok in Cleveland and Chicago. It was a great way to learn the business. I mean, you worked out of your house and you basically just befriended store managers at Foot Locker and Sears and Finish Line and boutiques and everything. So it was a great way to actually learn the business. And then came back to Reebok, worked in the corporate office for about a year and a half until got laid off in July of 2004, which is the moment I realized I wanted to start my own company. Just never knew when or how or what, but I knew I never wanted to kind of put my future in other people's hands. So I left. I went to a smaller footwear company called Atsco Footwear, so about a 50-person team. Really was able to do sales, marketing, and product. And for me, some of the most successful people at Reebok, you know, always had those three things under their belt. So to me, that was really important. If I ever wanted to, you know, to really be in footwear apparel and be respected, I'd have to really learn those three things. So at a smaller company, you can do, you know, you do everything. So that part was actually, it was great. And then I came back in 2006 to Reebok. They were revamping their basketball category. Basketball was always a huge passion of mine my whole life. And my goal one day was to head up a basketball division at a big company one day. So I was there for 6 years, got a chance to head up basketball. The last probably year and a half that I was at Reebok. And as you all are very well aware, Adi purchased Reebok in 05, and they just slowly started to kind of take sports away from Reebok. And for me, just being a big sports guy, it just wasn't the place that I saw myself for a long time once, you know, the priority of basketball kind of just went away. So at that time, Neil will be happy to know that, you know, I did a lot of research, a lot of data. And just saw that customization and slides completely separate from each other were both growing at like a crazy, crazy rate. E-commerce was certainly just like, you know, 100% plus growth every year, but slides for 3 years in a row, just athletic slides in the US had over 25%+ growth year on year on year for 3 years in a row. So for me, I was like, all right, well, if the big companies make good quality slides and nobody customizes them, and then there's cheap promo companies that aren't good quality, but they do customize, there's got to be an opportunity to have someone make the most comfortable slide in the world where you can make one of them and have it delivered in a week. And if we could figure this out, then we might have a business. So I left the end of 2012, and 2 weeks later, started iSlide.
Tell us about iSlides, because it is a fantastic, you talked about the customization, but you know, your tagline is "you design it, we build it." You know, tell us what you've built.
Yeah. So, iSlide is basically the only premium customized slide company in the world. So, we do one-offs. So that's obviously kind of, a pain for anybody that knows customization. One-offs is not easy and not fun, but I think for me, it was, of course, you know, big companies, if they wanted to knock us off, they certainly could, but just being at a big company for so long and knowing how labor intensive our business and process is, no big company would ever want to do what we do, because it really is just not that efficient, to be honest with you. But we found a niche. We don't actually patent anything for the pure reason that we have to kind of show everybody what we do and how we do it. But you know, our motto is stand in what you stand for. So it's not about looking down at our slides and seeing iSlide's name like big and prominent like you would for other brands. It's really about, you know, whatever is passionate and important to you. So it could be a school logo. It could be a team's logo. It could be a tattoo. It could be a picture of your dog. It could be, you know, it could be really anything that's important to you. We want to allow you to express yourself through footwear and through slides. And we've stuck, you know, to doing that since day one. And we've developed kind of a good, better, best strategy, but it's really about our good model that has transcended upon all, you know, genders, demographics throughout, you know, the first 7 years.
Hey, Justin, you know, during this COVID-19 crisis, you know, a couple things have popped out. One of them is that Crocs, which makes, you know, those, you know, the dumb molded clogs, they have actually seen a 12% increase in business year over year because, you know, people are walking around the house, hanging out around the house. So they've been very popular. And also, you know, we are also going to see a huge uptick in online shopping activity. Talk a little bit about how, you know, from a competitive sense, where you think, you know, the iSlides kind of will sit and how people can find out a little bit more about you.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we've developed a strategy where we have different selling channels. And I think if you looked at the COVID-19, what it's done to business, certainly almost any business that we have direct to consumer has flourished during a time like this. Anything brick and mortar that we've sold to, or traditional wholesale, or even direct to teams, has completely died. When I say direct to team, I mean that an equipment manager of a pro basketball team or pro football team, to a college equipment manager, to, you know, youth teams, is, you know, that comes up, that, you know, no one's playing sports or no equipment managers are actually buying you know, everything that, you know, that they normally would buy. So our direct-to-consumer business on our line has been better than it's been in a very long time. I mean, January and February were our best months we've ever had, but we were thinking that with this whole pandemic that our, like, everything would go down. But yeah, I mean, our direct-to-consumer business on our own e-commerce has been great. And our dropship business has been really impressive. So any business that has been on like another company's website that we actually dropship for them has been strong. So we have seen great wins, but also, you know, a lot of losses when it comes to kind of traditional selling.
Hey, Justin, you've got a really interesting story here in The Athletic last week. Yeah, April 15th. We'll try to link it in the show notes, Mike. I think we should. It's an awesome story about how you got your start and how authentic the brand really is amongst basketball players, particularly a lot of the Boston Celtics. The story's way too long to kind of recount here, but can you just talk about the beginnings and the Kelly Olynyk connection and how that tied back to, I think it was Marcus Smart who recently made a donation. Is that right?
Jay Crowder.
Oh, Crowder. Yeah, yeah. Marcus Smart's involved too, though, right?
What's that?
Marcus Smart is involved as well, right?
No, Evan Turner is the other investor.
Oh, investor. Okay, got it. Yeah, yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, the connection with Kelly actually started with my wife and I about 13 years ago started a nonprofit called Shooting Touch that is basically using basketball as a platform for health education. And we have programming in Boston and Rwanda, but we one of our board of directors was a guy by the name of Jay Triano, who at the time was head coach of the Toronto Raptors and the head coach of the Canadian national team, where Kelly is actually, you know, Canadian, played on the team and was a rookie for the Celtics. And we were having our big gala and Jay was like, "Hey, Kelly, you should come by. It's a great organization and check it out." So Kelly came by, really loved what the organization was all about and, you know, wanted to get involved from the Shooting Touch side, and then kind of found out about what we do at iSlide and loved it. I mean, he's a super creative dude who, you know, who just kind of, you know, loves, you know, slides in general. So we, you know, we made some cool slides for him, and now all of a sudden the other guys on the Celtics want them. So Kelly got them some, and then, you know, those guys actually just wanted to buy them for their friends. And so it kind of started with Kelly getting them for the other guys on the team that, I mean, I think one of the things in the article that mentioned was like, all a lot of these pro guys have everything they could ever ask for. So something customized and personalized to them, you know, really goes a long way to help kind of brand themselves as individuals. And that's what we did. We did it through something that they wore anyway all the time. So that's kind of how that whole, you know, it started with that. And then it really just spread throughout the league, you know, to all the NBA teams.
Hey, just as a follow-up, Justin, can you share some of the cool custom designs, logos, or even the words that some of these NBA players are using on their slides?
Yeah, a lot of them, like, we'll create logos for them, just like personal logos. So we'll do that. Other ones, I mean, certainly we did a ton with Isaiah Thomas, you know, king of the fourth, you know, being the fourth quarter guy. We do a lot of work with, you know, entertainers and stuff. You know, probably our most famous entertainer that we did work with was DJ Khaled. And he would do, you know, he would put, you know, slogans or, you know, like another one or a major key and all the things he would just say in his normal life every day. He would just want to throw them on slides and sell them that way. So it's really like the epitome of personal self-expression that, you know, that these slides can convey.
Justin, I do have a question about technology, and I also have another one if I'll be allowed. But how do you do this? I mean, is it a laser? What's the technology? I know you probably don't want to give away anything proprietary, but how do you do it?
If you come into our office, Neil, you'll walk in the office. On the right side, you'll see a nice half-court basketball court. on the left, you'll see a big black cage wall where we don't allow anybody back there because we don't tell anybody how we do anything. So we found a way to just be able to print one-offs really quick. Using kind of existing printers that were out there that we had to bring some people on board to help finagle it to kind of print our slides so quickly. So we don't give away the secret, but we found a way to do it though.
Is it heat transfer? Is it, you're gonna, help a brother out here?
Just say 3, 2, 1. It gives our sound engineer a marker to cut out anything in the last year. So.
It's something very similar to that. Yes.
Nice try, Neil.
Hey, can't.
You must be bored in Boca.
It's been, everybody else has been locked down.
Hey, Justin, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about Project Bread and what you guys are doing as part of the response efforts and in terms of COVID.
Yeah, so I think, we're doing two things right now. And I think it's funny. I mean, we try to be just as smart as we can and to be able to help as best as we can with this. I mean, you've seen companies that, kind of change up their manufacturing and all of a sudden, start to make masks or make gowns or make, products that can really kind of help right now with the frontline workers. And to be very open and honest with you, I mean, it's not what we do well. I mean, it's just not. We don't have it's not our core competency. And at the same time, we've always tried to give back. We've had a program called iSlide for Good where we help, various charities, for the first 7 years. But we want to be able to give back. So it is something that's really important to us. But we want to be able to give back in a way that was also meaningful, but not something that was really difficult for us to do that we're not good at. And so we're doing two things. One is we're partnering with Project Bread. So right in our backyard is important to us. Being based in Boston is our offices. So that's it. Our backyard is really important. So Project Bread is an organization that helps feed meals for kids in the city of Boston. And a lot of them get these free meals when they go to school every day. And with no school for the rest of the year, a lot of them are, they don't have a lunch. They don't have their meals at all going. So a portion of every sale that we get on our website goes directly back to Project Bread and to be able to help feed, these kids on a day in and day out basis. So to be able to help and partner with an organization that, is doing amazing things and for us to be able to help fund that in a way, is very rewarding. And then the second way that we're doing is, I think you probably heard of the recent hospital called Boston Hope that just opened up, and it's kind of an overflow hospital of 1,000 beds that is half for homeless and half for overflow of people that either have symptoms of coronavirus or are recovering from coronavirus. And our goal is to be able to outfit every patient and every worker with Boston Hope slides. And, for people just to look down and to remember the work that they're doing to be, on a day in and day out basis, to be able to see their Project Hope logo was something that we thought we could help donate. Some of our investors have, come in and chipped in to help with the donation that we're just doing on our own. And so those are the two things that we're doing to help give back. And I think, not everybody can give, tens of thousands of shoes or, every day based on the size of their business. But I think as long as everybody tries to do something, then we will certainly end, get through this thing better than we started.
Justin, I think it's great, that you're doing that. I think that, we talk on the show a lot of times about, that mix of, corporate governance that involves doing things for the public and also, you know, and business and the commercial side of things. Just a quick little anecdote. I guess you've heard it. What happens at 7 o'clock at night in New York now, you know, in front of the hospitals. I mean, basically they break out into like a spontaneous clapping and cheering. My daughter was there a couple of days ago. She says it like brought tears to her eyes. So, you know, that might be another opportunity also for, you know, the healthcare workers, you know, who have gone just above and beyond really what they could have asked for. But I think it's wonderful that you are, you know, that you're looking at helping, you know, during this time. So kudos to you.
Yeah, no, I think you're so right on. I mean, the healthcare workers right now, I mean, you hear the stories of them, you know, a lot of them without their protective, you know, gear, doing the very best they can, working insane hours, like no days off, always on call. I mean, without question, you know, they are the true heroes that are going to come out of this. And I hope, you know, everybody appreciates everything that they're doing on a day in and day out basis.
I'll have to ask for forgiveness because there's a landscaper right outside that's taking out a hedge. So if it disrupts things, but again, you know, our big viewing audience right now, Justin is dressed amazing, but he also has a whiteboard behind him that seems to be mapping out the future. So I guess, you know, again, our viewers won't be able to see that whiteboard, but what do you see? I mean, it's hard to have a crystal ball in a time like this, but how are you approaching things and what's the runway look like?
Oh man. I mean, yeah, the whiteboard, which my wife can't stand in this office, includes all the family activities that we were planning for the year that got canceled. It was mapping out, you know, as much, you know, strategy as we possibly can for the, you know, just, you know, iSlide in general. It has to do with, just kind of everyday life and just trying to stay on top of it. I mean, it's so much chaos right now is that I'm a big visual guy. So I need to kind of write down everything. And yeah, behind me is just pure madness of just trying to keep everything organized and, to be able to see it every day and just look at it and try to check things off the boxes as much as possible.
My wife added a whiteboard to our refrigerator that is simply to remind us what day of the week it is. So.
it's tough to remember what day of the week it is sometimes with this. Oh, there's no question about it. Hey, Justin, I do have one slight question. You know, I was looking on the website and I noticed your product is in that kind of $41 to $43 range, I think. Is that kind of where it's at? You know, at the top of the show, we talked a little bit about you know, the Addy slides and some of the underwire and all that. And, you know, they tend to run in a lower price range anywhere from, you know, $25, $32, but even down into the $19. Do you think the, you know, have the consumer kind of responded to this idea about the customization? I mean, I do know customization has definitely been a big thing the last 3 years. So is that really, you know, what's driving the business is the customization side of it?
Yeah. So, the last piece cut out a little bit, Neil, but, I think what you were kind of asking was, you know, basically, you know, iSlide is a little bit more expensive than your traditional slides that are out at retail that you see. And absolutely. I mean, it was meant that way. I think if we try to go just up against them with the iSlide branding to start the company, I think it would have been a tough road ahead. But I think number one, we wanted to have quality. And I think, you know, we worked really hard in the beginning of the company to be able to have a, you know, what we think is the most comfortable slide in the market and a really high quality slide. So that was number one. So I think people will pay for quality. And then the other piece that I think that people will pay for is the customization. So about 40% of our business was actually direct to consumer via Teams. So I kind of brought up that team business before. And, you know, somebody, you know, we live in Medfield right now. So, you know, Medfield Youth Lacrosse wanting to buy the Medfield Youth Lacrosse logo with, you know, their kid's name on the side or kid's number on the side, you know, them paying between $35 and $45 is no problem whatsoever. I mean, to to complete the kit and to have, you know, their kid just, you know, feel that much more part of the team is something that we have never seen pushback at all. I mean, I think if anywhere we've seen pushback is if we are in brick and mortar at some of the big chains, you know, like an Olympia or a Dick's Sporting Goods. So that's why we almost developed a kind of that good, better, best strategy to be able to complement from a pricing standpoint, because you don't necessarily think customization when you're going by the aisle at Dick's Sporting Goods. So that's how we're going to try to compete. Where we can win is with still really good quality at the lower price point, but also really cool licensed designs. And that's how we have licensed properties such as the NBA, MLB, NHL, over 60 high Division I colleges. And that's where we've seen, you know, a lot of success come from that element too.
All right, Justin, one more wardrobe comment. Your wife is going to love us, but I can't resist. And then I have a question for our audience and listeners. Just so you know, this guy went on Shark Tank and he's dressed nicer for our show than he is for Shark Tank. 100%. I'm looking at the picture here. But hey, so my question is about Shark Tank, Justin. I'd love to know, give us some intel about how much, you know, BS the show is. Is there anything that, you know, we see on TV that you didn't know behind the camera? Is there any kind of cool secret, cool fact, anything at all from your experience with Shark Tank?
Yeah, there's not much BS at all. I mean, to be honest with you, I think where the BS kind of comes in is how they edit it. You know, certainly, you know, maybe, you know, you might say something and all of a sudden they respond with an expression that maybe wasn't off of what you just said and it could be another topic, but it's super real. I mean, you don't meet the sharks before the show. You don't meet them after. I mean, for me, I watched every single episode of the first 7 seasons. So, I mean, I felt I was all best friends with all of them, you know, going into it. So they make it very nerve wracking for you. You know, 8,000 lights, they turn up the heat. They want you to like act like a buffoon. So it's great TV for them. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think I had a great episode, you know, as far as like the company was concerned. We got offered a deal. They wanted too much equity. We turned them down. But we got the exposure. And I think probably the greatest stat that came out of it was we had about 500 people a day coming to our site before the show aired. And then overnight it went to 50,000 a day. And I mean, there's been nothing. I mean, we've had some pretty good wins at times, but nothing has ever come close to something like that. And it's the reason why companies, you know, website crashes for days or weeks at a time because they can't handle it. So we were prepared. We had an amazing developer, Jonathan Swartz, who kind of helped us out from a website e-commerce standpoint to just to be able to help us survive that intake of viewership. And so, but it was really, I mean, I couldn't have asked, you know, for anything. They call it a free $7 million commercial, and it's all of that.
There's quite a bit of BS as to how we edit this show as well. But and that said, there's probably like, you know, not the audience. So don't expect to see an uptick once this airs.
That's why I dressed up for it, because I'm expecting that same sort of uptick.
We're gonna hopefully throw you some sort of bone. But Justin, really appreciate the time today. Really a pleasure to meet you, and you know, keep up the great work.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
You can subscribe to this podcast on all major podcast platforms. Until next time, play hard or at least look good doing it.